The gospel this morning is one of my favorite texts in Scripture, John chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far off from land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." Praise to you, Lord Christ, for your word. I got my frying pan back on Thursday. A week ago, we went to Portland for our conference annual meeting and stayed in an Airbnb. When we rushed out Saturday morning trying to get to the meeting on time, I left my favorite cast iron frying pan sitting on the stove where we stayed. I didn't even notice until I reached for it at home Monday morning to scramble eggs. My heart sank. I thought it was gone for good. Fortunately, our host was as gracious as Sammy's mommy and helpful and immediately boxed it up and took it to UPS. It got here overnight and is back where it belongs, next to our stove at home. What might have turned out to be an expensive and annoying oversight was redeemed. If I can feel as happy about getting an old cooking utensil back, think about God's pleasure in the redemption and restoration of men, women, boys, and girls whom He has created. You and I and everyone else on this planet have been made to be enjoyed, cherished, and loved by God. I paid a little postage to our host to get our frying pan back. God paid the life of Jesus Christ, His Son, to get you and me back. That post-Easter fishing trip at the end of John's Gospel shows us God at work in Jesus, doing His business of redemption with one of His favorite disciples, Peter. That rough, headstrong fisherman had been with Jesus for 3 years. Jesus' own heart must have been heavy with how Peter got himself lost in the fearful hours just before the crucifixion. As predicted, despite protesting unfailing loyalty, Peter denied he even knew Jesus, not once, but 3 times. If our Lord operated like some business and government folks do today, that would have been the end of the story for Peter with Jesus. Peter had gotten frightened and failed. He had been disloyal. Jesus might have just left it that way, left Peter sitting on the back burner from that point on. He had 10 other guys to work with. Why spend more time on a loser? Why? Because redeeming losers is what Jesus is all about. You might think that at this point, Peter is already making a comeback. After all, he was the first of the male disciples to go in the empty tomb when the women reported it, with all the others he got to see and talk with the risen Lord himself. Yet our text today shows that Peter, who failed so spectacularly, still didn't quite have his head in the game. As our text opens in verse 1, the disciples have followed the angel's directions and headed north from Jerusalem to wait for Jesus back in Galilee. But in verse 3, we hear Peter fall back into his usual impatience. He doesn't like sitting around. And so in a sentence that warms my heart, he tells the other disciples, "I'm going fishing." In other words, yeah, we've seen our dead master come back to life, but he's taken his sweet time about updating us. And so in the meantime, we might as well be out on the water. I know I would have been right there with the rest of them who answered, "We will go with you." They fished all night. That's often a good time to fish, especially when the sun is high and hot during the day. Fish that dove for deep, dark water in the sunlight may swim nearer the surface in the evening and be easier to catch, but not that night. Verse 3 ends telling us that Peter and his friends caught nothing, which sets the scene for what happens next. In verse 4, Jesus comes walking along the beach early that morning. The boat was too far out for the disciples to recognize him, but he knew exactly what was going on with them. According to verse 5, he called out, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" In a moment of rare honesty for fishermen, they simply answered, "No." Jesus then told them in verse 6 to try casting their net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. That in itself is not as quite as odd as it sounds. A spotter from the shore can sometimes see down in the water in a way a fisherman can't see close up. When I go fly fishing, I will often scout the water from shore before wading in. In any case, the disciples took the advice of this man, who seemed a stranger to them, and cast their nets once again on the right. As Yogi Berra said, it was deja vu all over again for those disciples. The net filled with so many fish, they couldn't even haul it into the boat. Verse 7 tells us that it was John himself, the disciple whom Jesus loved, who realized first what it meant. He said to Peter, "It is the Lord." That recognition happened because of what you can read in Luke chapter 5. Their very first encounter with Jesus 3 years earlier had been just like this. Jesus had gotten into Simon Peter's boat that morning, preached a sermon to the crowd on shore, and then told Peter to push out and let down the nets. Simon protested, saying they had fished all night. There's no point. But he did what Jesus said, and the nets filled to overflowing. Now, here it was happening again, as John saw right away. Just like when they went to the tomb on Easter, John got there first, but then Peter jumped ahead by throwing on his clothes this time and jumping out of the boat. He swam in to meet Jesus, leaving the other guys to drag back that mess of fish, rowing to shore and beach the boat. Verse 9 sets the stage for the next episode then in the story. Jesus has breakfast going there on the beach, a fire with fish cooking and bread. But perfectly fresh fish is better, as anyone knows, and so in verse 10, Jesus told them to bring some of what they just caught. Peter was eager to please, ran back, climbed in the boat, and hauled in the net full of fish. Here, verse 11 gives us a fascinating detail about which I've, in the past, preached more than once a whole sermon. They counted the fish. Not just an estimate, not just about a gross or 100 and a half, but exactly 153. That's fishermen for you. We love statistics, not just how many, but how big, what size hook and weight line we caught them on, what the water temperature was, and what time of day. And so these fellows temporarily ignored Jesus, their Lord, risen from the dead, and stood there and counted and marveled at how many fish were in that net and that it hadn't broken. Jesus had to break in on them in verse 12, saying, "Come and have breakfast." As John explains, they were close enough now to see him and recognize his voice, and so they didn't need, or at least didn't dare, ask who he was. Jesus gave them bread and fish to eat, which may have been another little deja vu reminder of a miraculous meal a whole crowd experienced in that same vicinity a couple years before. Verse 14 tells us this was just the third time Jesus had appeared to them after the resurrection. As we heard last week, the first two times were a week apart in Jerusalem on Easter and then the Sunday after. But now it had been a while. They had gone home to Galilee as Jesus told them to. They may have thought they would not see him again, but Jesus was there. And he was especially interested in Peter. In verse 15, the focus changes, narrows down, gets serious. Jesus begins a conversation with Peter by asking the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" It's probably two different things he could have meant by "more than these." Do you love me more than all this fishing business, more than the boats and the nets and the water and all that? Or perhaps he meant, "Do you love me more than these other disciples do?" Either way, Peter immediately understood that Jesus was looking for a reaffirmation of his personal commitment. Jesus was looking him in the eye and asking for a declaration of his love. Peter responded like you or I might respond to a spouse or a child who asks that question. "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Now, you may have heard sermons or read books which make a big deal out of the fact that Jesus used one word for love while Peter used a different, supposedly weaker word. So Jesus was supposedly asking something like, "Do you love me with all your heart?" And Peter replied with something like, "Yes, you know we're friends." But forget all that. In John's gospel, those two words for love are interchangeable. John just likes to vary his language a bit, like preachers and other writers do, to make it more interesting. Right here in the same passage, as Jesus responds to Peter and tells him what he wants him to do, Jesus uses different words three times for another thought. He says, "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep." The identical idea is expressed with slightly different words each time. It's the same with the two words for love. It's pointless to look for subtle differences on which to build some interpretation of this passage. The point is that Jesus asked Peter three times. That's what shook that fisherman down to the core of his soul. Verse 17 says Peter felt hurt when asked the third time if he loved Jesus. Three was a number he remembered very well, because three times was how often Peter denied Jesus on the night before the crucifixion. After declaring publicly three times that he didn't know Jesus, Peter was now being given the opportunity to declare, it seems, maybe publicly, three times, that he not only knew but loved Jesus. This conversation was Jesus' therapy for Peter, the disciples' redemption after the trauma and guilt of his denials. I've always liked the explanation that when Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" These referred to the boats, the nets, the fish, the sun on the water, the wind and the waves, and the whole happy trade of being a fisherman. Jesus supposedly asked Peter whether he would give up this occupation he loves in favor of Jesus, in favor of a mission to bring the gospel to the world, to be a fisher of men, as old translations of Matthew and Mark put it. The problem is that we've already seen that Peter loves Jesus more than fishing. He's the only one who jumped in the water to leave the boat and the fish and everything behind to get to shore when he heard that Jesus was there. It was perfectly clear that Peter loved his Lord more than those, more than being a fisherman. No, what Jesus asked Peter was whether he had gotten over the pride and self-importance Peter expressed just before Jesus was arrested and crucified. Here in John, Peter said that before the arrest that he would lay down his life for Jesus. In Matthew 26:14, Peter said that even if all the other disciples were to desert Jesus, he wouldn't. But of course, all the Gospels tells us that Peter saved his own life and did desert Jesus by denying that he even knew him. It was one of the saddest moments in the Good Friday story. That's why Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" Asked him three times, "Do you love me?" He was asking if Peter still thought he was superior to the others, if he still imagined his love for Jesus was better and more faithful than anyone else's. He asked if Peter would still boast that he loved Jesus more than all the other disciples did. Jesus was giving Peter the opportunity in that breakfast conversation to turn a corner in his soul, to truly lay down the importance of his own life, of his own self. So this time, Peter didn't claim to love Jesus more than anyone else. He just quietly and humbly said that Jesus already knew the answer. Peter did love him. If there's anything to that idea that different words for love here mean anything, then it's just this. Rather than boast that his love was greater than any other, Peter claimed the humblest and simplest love for Jesus. And Jesus thought that was good enough. When Jesus asked Peter three times whether he loved him, it was not to draw out some profound and deep affirmation using the word for the highest form of love. It was to show Peter, who denied him three times, that he was three times forgiven. It didn't really matter how many times Peter had failed in his love. The redeeming love of Jesus was ready to accept him back, to restore him to his position as Jesus' disciple, as Jesus' friend. Part of healing and redemption when we've failed, when our spirits have been broken, is to regain a sense of purpose, a reason to go on living. That's what Jesus offered to Peter and offered to anyone who loves him. Each time Peter said he loved Jesus, Jesus told him to do the same work that Jesus came to do, to care for sheep. As we'll hear in next week's Gospel from John 10, Jesus is the good shepherd, the one who lays down his life for the sheep, who calls them and gives them eternal life. Jesus redeemed Peter by inviting him to do that same shepherd work, to love God's sheep, God's people, like Jesus himself loves them. That is how Jesus would like to redeem each one of us, to redeem you. Wherever you may find yourself in relation to Jesus, he's simply asking you, do you love me? He's inviting you not to compare yourself with other followers of Jesus and not to agonize comparing yourself with your past self, agonizing over how poor your love for him may have been back then. He's simply asking now, at this moment, do you love him? And will you join him in loving those around you? As that conversation on the beach shows us, even the faintest affirmation, even the most halting and humble yes to Jesus is enough. He will redeem and restore you and then include you in what he's doing in this world, caring for sheep, for lambs who need the shepherd. When you come to the table this morning, let it be a redeeming moment for you. a breakfast with Jesus for you today. As you remember via the bread and then the cup that he gave his body and blood on the cross for you, hear him saying, "Do you love me?" And when you eat and drink here with him, let it be your own. "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And then go out and look for the sheep he's asking you to love and tend for him. Amen.